Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is author of the Milwaukee Independent, one of the authors of the Milwaukee Independent, and also founder of Nurturing Diversity Partners, Mr. Reggie Jackson. And you know, Reggie, I want to say this quickly before we go back. This is an article this morning, and it talks about the fact that there are people who are upset and angry because a gentleman who founded the Brownstone Institute, and he's upset that a recent tour of Thomas Jefferson's historic Monticello estate was too woke. And as you probably guess, yes, he does look like this. Tucker tells Kilmeade that his July 4th tour of the historic site was depressing and demoralizing and truly upsetting. Why? Well, he doesn't go into exact details, but he does say that the tour guides focus on debunking his history, his reputation, putting him down, demoralizing everybody on my tour. That's an interesting choice of words, of course, because to say that the tour was debunking Jefferson's history implies that there was some sort of misconception or gap in knowledge needing to be debunked. Imagine that. Kilmeade asks the obvious assumption that what Tucker is alluding to is Jefferson's history as a slave owner. He is dismayed that this incredibly important fact might be brought up during a tour of the estate because, as he notes, there's a tour, multiple tours, actually, dedicated to exploring the perspective of enslaved people. Now Kilmeade says on the main tour, all you hear about is slavery, and you don't even hear about Jefferson at all. The guides do not talk about the incredible man, a thing that is mostly definitely not true. Now, what person, I don't care what color you are, you know, that knows a modicum about the history, if it would say that you shouldn't be talking about slavery. And, you know, when we know at the root of most of that, that's what it was. And it doesn't matter whether they were a founding father or who it was, to the people who you enslaved. You know, we talk about morality and all those things. We know slavery was immoral. It doesn't matter who the slave owner was. You don't do away with the fact that it's immoral that you would enslave other people and then run around and call your nation the moral compass of the world. Come on, Reggie. Come on, man.
Earl, it's fascinating to me how people are thinking about the founding fathers, defending the founding fathers, when the founding fathers did not try to defend themselves. Right? They did not think that what they were doing was wrong because they did it, Earl.
I know.
Listen, 12 of the first 16 U.S. presidents were slaveholders. 12 of the first 16, right? They wrote a constitution. They wrote a declaration.
The greatest document, the greatest right? Document ever written. Yeah, go ahead.
Now, when the Declaration of Independence was written, you know that African people have been enslaved in this country for well over 100 years, 150-some years already at that point, right?
Yes.
We know this. We know that Native Americans have been enslaved in this country. We know that Native Americans have been slaughtered and their land taken. When the Declaration of Independence was written about how wonderful this country was going to be, we then had a constitutional convention, and then the Constitution was drawn up. Now, this is one of the interesting things. Now, we know that the founding fathers were cognizant of the fact that they were being hypocrites, Earl. And the proof of that is that they did not put the word slave or slavery in the U.S. Constitution at all. The first time you see the word slave isn't until 1865 with the 13th Amendment to the Constitution. So why didn't they put the word slave or slavery in the Constitution? Well, they knew that it would make them look like hypocrites, Earl. But this is the thing, and this just shows you the irony of where we are. Now, they use words like other persons to describe yeah. our ancestors who were slaves, right? Other persons, or persons held to service, right? Those are the terms they use instead of saying slave or slavery, right? But guess what happens? In 1861, a whole new country is developed. It's called the Confederate States of America, right, Earl? They wrote the Constitution, too. They literally almost copied and pasted the U.S. Constitution almost word for word. And when they were talking about slaves and slavery, they used those words in their Constitution, Earl. I have to give them credit for being honest. They were being honest. The founding fathers were being hypocrites. They literally said slave and slavery because they knew they were fighting to support slavery and slavery because they knew that that was all they really had. So when you talk about the founding fathers and Jefferson and all that coming to slavery now, well, listen, there's a great book that your audience needs to read, and it's How the Word is Passed, A Reckoning with the History of Slavery Across America. This great author, this man, Clint Smith, I met Clint Smith. I was invited to do an interview of him. And talk about the book and his journeys across the country, really across the world to multiple places he went. And he talked about Monticello in the book. And during the interview, he talked about Monticello.
Well, what's the name of his book?
How the Word is Passed.
Okay.
A Reckoning with the History of Slavery in America by Clint Smith. Man, wonderful guy. This guy is just phenomenal. The book is outstanding, Earl.
Okay.
He went to some places you couldn't. This man went to a Confederate cemetery, Earl, when they were having a celebration, and he walked around talking to these white people, asking them what they were celebrating, why they loved the Confederate. I mean, the bravery this man had is unbelievable. But when he went to Monticello, he told the story of some white women who were there, right? They were getting a tour, and when they heard about, you know, Sally Hemings, this young girl that Thomas Jefferson had raped and had children with, and when they heard of all the people that he enslaved, they were shocked. They were shocked. They couldn't believe it. They were just like, oh my goodness, this is, how come we were never told this before? That's what those white women said. How come we were never told this before? Now, this man that you're talking about, that's what he should have been saying. How come we weren't told this before? Because we know it's the truth. It's documented. Listen, they kept records. When they bought black people, they kept records of it, Earl. All of the records of 150 black people that he sold to get the mortgage to build Monticello, Earl. He literally had to sell 150 black people to get the money to build Monticello. That story is now being told at Monticello because black people are like, wait a minute, man, y'all been lying to us here at Monticello. And we want to hear the truth. So now that people that are going there expecting to hear the happy-go-lucky, wonderful Thomas Jefferson this, and one, they're facing up to reality that this man isn't who they've been told he is. And some people can't handle it. But it's the truth, Earl.
So you know,
you think that they would switch that at Monticello if it wasn't true?
You know, Reggie, the part of all of this is that we look today at what is taking place in this country. And we're not talking about, you know, all those, you know, decades ago and a century ago. We're talking about today. And we're talking about the ugliness that has reared its head, the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
All of this,
mm-hmm.
all of this that is happening in broad daylight,
mm-hmm.
and we can't seem, and this country doesn't have the stomach to step up and say and challenge that open bigotry and racism and hatred. And that's where I'm at, man. I'm at the fact that we're not talking about back then, we're talking now, and mm-hmm. and people mm-hmm. are aware of it. And it's going to lead to some ugly confrontations because black people aren't going to keep taking it, right? I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, you know, Earl, this is where I knew we would be. So, you know, back after George Floyd was murdered, a lot of people around the world were having protests. They saw how wrong that was. I still haven't watched the video. I couldn't watch this video of this man literally dying.
Right.
You know? But I remember the thing that stood out about it from the reports was that he was basically telling this man that he couldn't breathe. And he was begging for his mom. Right?
Yes. Yes.
That cuts people in an emotional way, Earl. People are hearing this man asking for his mama. That touched people, regardless of who they were. People were touched by that. People that would have never imagined being touched. And so what happens is people start to say, well, you know what? Black people have been telling us about this mess for years. Now I believe it.
Now yeah, it's on tape.
The evidence. Now I get it. Now, right, the evidence is clear. Now
right.
You start looking back on some of the other cases. Eric Garner being choked to death. They say, yeah, that wasn't right. Tamir Rice being shot. Right. 2 or 3 seconds after police arrive when he's holding a plastic gun, that's not right. And so they start all of this stuff about, you know, being truthful about police. And then say, well, you know what? There's a lot of other stuff we've been lied to about, too. So people were woke, Earl. They were awakened. But as I said, just because you get up, just because you wake up in the morning don't mean you will get out of the bed and do something. You may just go back to sleep. You may just lay in your bed and not do anything. And that's what America has done, because guess what? The pressure of having a nation that, Earl, that since 1776 has been lying to everybody that lives in this country about its history, now all of a sudden you have to tell the truth. That's not an easy thing to do.
You know, Reggie, and then you see a man that just got shot 60 times by law enforcement, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we keep seeing the same thing happening over and over and over and over. And you know, and you can't be silent on that, America, right? I mean, you can't be silent on that. And then turn around and talk about what those people are doing in their communities and their neighborhoods. You follow me, Reggie? Listen, we got to go to break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.